everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our program. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, off and running on the 13th day of July, 2023, a Thursday. And Tom, I hate to say it, but we've got another excessive heat warning in the forecast for the weekend.
This weekend, yeah.
Yeah, so we're already into July, the hottest July on record. We're up against that deadline of July 20th for the latest start to any rain in the Tucson area, namely recorded at the official recording station at the airport. And we have not had a drop of rain there since May 16th. So, you know, it's almost this heat island effect that Phoenix gets so many times, with the mountains, the surrounding areas are getting it.
Oh, and all the pavement and all the concrete buildings.
The storms rolling off the Catalinas, but not coming into the valley. Boy, I hope this is not a harbinger.
I've noticed something, and I wonder if I'm sure that lots of folks have already noticed this. These temperatures that we're seeing, we've experienced before.
Oh, yeah.
Many times over the last 50-odd or more years. Mm-hmm. It's just that we haven't had so many successive days of these temperatures.
Yes.
They're not really hotter.
No.
In the temperature scale, it's just that they hang around longer.
Yeah, and that's what's happening, this consecutive day after day. And the humidity levels this morning, I try to go out to water about 5:30 in the morning, and man, it was so humid out there this morning. But let's hope that that humidity turns into some really good rain for the southern Arizona area, namely the Metro Tucson area. The Buckmaster Show, we're 12 and a half years into this project that I began after I left 22 years at KUAT, Channel 6, and started the radio show, and signed on with what I call the Buckmaster Show Pledge. Listener opinions matter. Respect the audience. A forum for ideas, quality guests, and informed listeners. The Buckmaster Show website, where you will see the Buckmaster Show Pledge and our podcasts at buckmastershow.com. Our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We're ready now on the live line to go to the nation's capital and United States Representative Juan Ciscomani. He is both the only freshman and only member of the Arizona Congressional Delegation on the House Appropriations Committee. Congressman Ciscomani, a Republican representing freshman Republican representing Arizona's 6th District. He's with us now on the live line. How are you, Congressman?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, another busy day for you. You just did another vote on this on the House Appropriations Committee. What's the latest?
That's right. That's right. We've had another week of focusing on the appropriations. So yesterday we were here until late again, working on the transportation subcommittee markup. That means that's the vote for the full committee and appropriations to refer the bill over to the full committee. So yesterday we had the subcommittee on transportation. This is where you find out what priorities are going to be in the bill that is going to be considered with the full committee next week. So that was yesterday, and I'm happy to report on a few wins here, significant wins that we have, meaning that I had to advocate to get these in the bill. And as you know, we're seeing a reduction in government spending all across the board, and this is an area that also saw some reductions. But we made sure that being on that committee, we were having a strong voice in the seat of the table to be able to do this. So we're going to be we send out the press release on this. Your audience can see it there. But we have $2.7 million for Pima JTED. That's for a new building that will be going up. Also, $3.7 million for the city of Sierra Vista for a Buffalo Soldier Trail. Another $3.7 million for the city of Casa Grande, so widening a road there as well. Graham County will see about $1.3 million. And also the town of Sahuarita for Campbell Avenue extension project that will be about $3 million. This puts the money that we've secured to bring back to the district at about $20 million up to this point, and we have more to go. So these are projects that were prioritized. I was able to introduce them, advocate for them, and we have them in the bills. So we're in good shape, and there's actually more coming as well.
Expand a little bit about on Pima JTED. A lot of folks, economic developers, love this program.
Absolutely. This is an amazing program. It's both, obviously, for students so they can get the proper training in tech careers or heavy equipment operation, construction, technology, engineering, bioscience, sustainability, you name it. Pima JTED is a leader in this area. And they, of course, have the JTED Innovation Tech High School campus. And we broke ground on that a few years ago and inaugurated it. I've gone to several events. Looks like every time that I go, it keeps growing more and more. And so does the population. Nursing, you name it. So there's an opportunity here to have a new building that will actually expand the capacity to train these high school age students. And again, these are students that are currently in high school and they can be trained on these careers so they can hit the career field right after high school, or they can get some kind of technical certificate so they can start their careers immediately after that as well. Four-year education college is available for everyone that wants it, but for those that may have a different avenue, that other things should be available as well, and this is exactly that. So very successful program. It's got private sector involvement, of course, the county, and now I'm happy to bring the federal support on it as well.
So does this have to go to the Senate, or how does all this work? The appropriations passed this, but is this a done deal for like this money coming back to the district?
Yeah, great question. What we just had yesterday was the most significant step, because the whatever gets passed out of the subcommittee in transportation within appropriations, there's 12 committees within appropriations. One of them is transportation and housing and urban development and so on. And there are several of those. Line items were in that subcommittee. So once that subcommittee passes the bill, this is the package that will be considered. If this is a step that if it doesn't make it on the bill, then you know, you've lost on it. So right now they're in the bill, and now we're going to consider the full bill next week for the full committee of appropriations. We expect that to pass. And when it passes, then it goes to the House floor, expected to pass there as well. We have the votes for these. And then, yes, you're right, it goes to the Senate, and then it comes back as a bill overall. But at that point, these programs are pretty secure, unless something, I mean, there's so many things that could happen. But for the most part, we, you know, we're in good shape.
I want to talk a little bit about this cartel task force. You were recently named a member of that by Speaker McCarthy and introduced. I want to hear about what that is.
Yeah, no, it's a new task force. This was, like you said, created and introduced by the Speaker, and it's being chaired by Congressman Crenshaw from Texas. This is a task force that will be divided up in 3 to 5 different working groups. And they're going to be everything from monitoring their activity, understanding their networks better, also working with the Mexican government to try to tackle and interdict a lot of their activity. This is an example of really focusing the border security piece on the bad actors. And we have to deal with a lot of ways on this. Obviously, demand for the drugs in the U.S., border security in terms of what happens at the border, but also interrupting the cartel activity. And this is a task force created by Congress to be able to not only look deep into that, but also be able to give direct guidance and direction to law enforcement agencies in terms of, you know, what intel we have to see what we can do. It's going to be I'm glad to be at the table. This is going to be an exciting one. And it's also a way to differentiate how we can work together. And this is another thing I'm advocating for, more resources for our ports of entry. That's another subcommittee that I'm on, because I want to make sure that at the same time that we're tackling the border security, the bad actors, we're also promoting and enhancing the people that are crossing back and forth to do trade, commerce, and tourism as well. So we can tackle both at the same time. I've always said that. These two can coexist, being tough on border security and the bad actors, and also promote those that are trying to come into the country to do business, visit, and immigrate as well.
We had an interesting discussion with Lieutenant General Jeffrey Buchanan. I don't know if you know Jeff Buchanan. He had an op-ed in Newsweek about the cartels, and that maybe we should designate the cartels as terrorist organizations. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a technical description of them, that once you assign it, new doors open in terms of resources for them. And that's exactly what we're going to be determining on this. I mean, we need to use every single tool that we have to be able to go and stand up against their activity right now, that it seems that they're being able to act at will. They've overrun a lot of the smaller towns in Mexico, that they are really the law and authority in those towns. So they're running unchecked, and it's time to really step up and use whatever tools we have available, specifically from Congress, to be able to designate the right terms here to free up our law enforcement to act strictly and swiftly against the cartels and protect our citizens. That is the main purpose here. And of course, Border Patrol, Customs, they play a role here. We have law enforcement in foreign countries, DEA and so on. So this is what this task force is here to do, to look into exactly what we can do on this and take action.
What about military intervention? You wouldn't go that far, would you?
That's a whole different conversation. I mean, that goes into invading a neighboring country. That's not where we are.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. When we come back, we will ask Congressman Juan Ciscomani about that effort to rename the post office in Patagonia, Arizona, after the late Congressman Jim Colby. We'll talk more with Congressman Ciscomani. Also want to get into a couple of top international issues, the situation with Ukraine, and then funding for our military when we continue with the Buckmaster Show.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Coming up tomorrow on the program, our Friday Focus interview, Tim Tomier will be with us. Tim is the Assistant City Manager in the city manager's office in the city of Tucson, and we'll be talking about water issues. Tim is so knowledgeable about everything going on with water, which is the big critical issue right now here in Arizona. Let's go back now on the live line to the nation's capital. Congressman Juan Ciscomani is with us on the live line. Any movement on this effort to name a new post, well, not a new post office, but the current post office in Patagonia after the late Congressman Jim Colby?
Yeah, that's an exciting one. This is something that has been attempted before by different members, actually, from this district, Bill. But one of the requirements seems that the person that you're trying to name it after needed to have passed. So, of course, we lost a great member of our community, a leader, a statesman, and a friend of mine and yours, I know, this past December. So I wasted no time. This is one of the first things that I did once we came into Congress. I've been working with Jim's family as well. His sister lives in Tucson still. And we went to work immediately on this, introduced the bill, and we've gotten some support from our delegation to be able to rename this. This is going to be a post office in Patagonia, which is where he considered his hometown. And it's going to be a great way to remember someone that served the state in Congress 22 years, the state legislature before then, and that we owe many things, like he was key in NAFTA negotiations, did a lot for the cross-border trade and border security like we've been discussing. So some of the issues that he worked on, we're still working on today. And I got to tell you, during the campaign, I talked to him quite a bit. We met here in Washington several times. We had different plans and ideas of things that we could work together on, including the advisory council that I now have created. And we had a lot of plans to be able to work together here. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, but I do want his legacy to live on. And I think this is a good way to remember him.
What about this advisory council? How is that going?
It's going well. I think I've talked about it before. It has 40 people in it, all five counties, different parties, Democrat, Republicans, and independents are on this council. Every person that I invited on accepted the invitation, and they knew what I was pitching, basically, which was, let's sit around the table and talk policy. I'm going to need to get advice from everyone, from both sides of the aisle and from the middle as well, in terms of independents. And, we have in there leaders, and the president of the Girl Scouts, all the way up to sheriff of Cochise County, to medical experts and so on. And I use them as a sounding board to be able to get feedback on important issues that are coming up. I had meetings with them during the debt ceiling negotiations and so on. It's important for me to know what's on their mind and to get that feedback. So it's served a great purpose so far. And I look forward to really using them more and more. I think I told them we were going to meet just a couple times a year, and maybe I've overused them already, but it's such a strong asset for me to be able to just call experts in our community. And I really appreciate them giving up their time to be able to help advise me. And I'm on the open ears to anyone. We may disagree at the end. And that's one thing I told them. I said, it doesn't mean that we'll always agree or that I'll do exactly as you all think or one of you thinks, but we want to be adults around the table, talk real policy, and just leave politics at the door and talk about the things that improve our community. So that's what we've been able to do so far. I'm going to meet with them in person when I'm back in August, and I'm looking forward to that.
So many veterans here in Southern Arizona. I think we've talked about this before. Defense spending is huge, a huge issue here. I think we may have more veterans per capita than anywhere else in the United States here in southern Arizona. But folks are watching the defense spending, and this, there's kind of a dust up going on, right, over the defense bill. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, first on the veterans, we have over 70,000 veterans. We're the ninth largest district in terms of veteran population in the country out of the 435 districts.
Okay.
In the U.S., we're number nine, which is a large number given that, you know, we have two military bases and that we're not a New York or a California per se in terms of population. So to be number nine in the whole country, it's pretty remarkable. Over 70,000 of them living here. And just in my time with the governor, we did things like not taxing their pension and universal licensing reform, that a spouse can move into the state and we would recognize their realtor license and they can go to work immediately. These are the steps that Arizona overall at the state level has been taking for a while to make it more attractive to live here for veterans, to live in Arizona for veterans. So absolutely. And that is my priority as well. I'm on the Veteran Affairs Committee. You know this. So there's been a big priority for us. And yes, you're right. The National Defense, the NDAA is being discussed right now. We passed the Appropriations Bill on defense, but also the National Defense Authorization Act is being right now discussed. And we are going to be voting on this tomorrow morning. So this is where our national defense gets funded, resources for our troops, for housing, for healthcare. And you name it. This is probably one of the most important bills that they're going to be passing this whole session.
What is the holdup on this? What's the controversy?
Well, you mentioned it before the end of the last segment. Also, Ukraine is a holdup. Different amounts of money that have to go into things are a holdup. People try to negotiate with this. Honestly, the stalling of progressing on this is. It doesn't benefit or help us at all, to be honest. The only ones that win with this are countries like China, Iran, those that Russia that are looking at us and looking for a sliver of weakness so that they can continue to be bad actors towards us. So we need to wrap this up, and I'm confident that we will. We're expected to work overnight on this because of all the amendments. The 1,400 amendments introduced initially, I mean, we're going to be discussing about 49 of them from here until the vote. So there's a lot of discussion happening. Some of these amendments are still being, finalized. So no, I wouldn't be able to speak on all of them or even how they're going to look. But this is what we're going to be doing here for the next 24 hours.
I want to talk a little bit about Davis-Monthan and the future of the A-10. We understand the Air Force is planning to put a new special operations, what they call power projection wing at DM that would ultimately replace the A-10s. What can you tell our mm-hmm. listeners about what's going on there?
Yeah, well, I got to tell you that we've been in those meetings. And Senator Sinema and Senator Kelly have also been in those meetings with the Air Force. And we've made it clear from the beginning, especially me speaking on behalf of DM as the Air Force base in my hometown, letting them know that we know that this is coming. It's been coming for a long time in terms of the A-10 and the future of the A-10. That's not a new conversation, but we always want to make sure that we're able to replace it with something that protects national security is a priority, but also jobs and economic development in southern Arizona and the Tucson region. And what you mentioned is exactly what their plan is going to be. How we execute it is what we're still talking to. We actually encouraged them and they did so. They followed up with some of the business leaders in town and they got feedback from them. And that's what we wanted. So we connected them with SALC and some of the other business organizations so they can know exactly how that was going to, how whatever action was going to be taken was going to impact them at all in that way. So that's where we are on this. We are confident from what we're hearing is that the jobs will be replaced and some may take up just there may be a lapse there where we may see a dip, but they will come back and we're going to be able to operate fully out of DM as well. And I took a break here to come take this call. I'm being called back for votes again in the committee here.
Okay.
Is there anything else you want to talk, Bill? I don't want to, I hate to run away. I did this last time, but we're still in the appropriations process. Summer's crazy like this. But any other time, I'll be able to stay on as long as you wish.
I understand.
Is there anything else you want to ask?
Will let you get back to the Appropriations Committee. I do appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Any time, Bill, and thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to report back home when I'm here. It means a lot to me, and I look forward to seeing everybody back in August.
All right. Thank you very much. United States Representative Juan Ciscomani with us on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. I am Bill Buckmaster, and I am sitting in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios on the Bustos Media Complex, a complex now that has five radio stations under one roof. Coming up next, Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham will be with us in studio. Normally, Councilman Cunningham has to do a phone interview because he is involved with education, but he will be back in studio with us here in a few minutes. So why don't we do this? Let's take the mid-show break, the CBS update. We'll hear from the Buckmaster lineup of great sponsors. Many of these people have been with me over the past 12 and a half years. I'm so appreciative because without them, you would not be hearing my voice, I guarantee you. So, all right, Tom, let's take the break and then we'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is Buckmaster on a Thursday. And again, tomorrow's Friday Focus interview. This guy that we're bringing in, he's been on the show a bunch of times. His name is Tim Tomier. He's the assistant city manager in Tucson. And Tim, this guy knows so much about what's going on with water. So we're going to have a deep dive on that topic tomorrow. It looks like Dylan Smith from Tucson Sentinel will be joining me in the questioning. Well, in the the questioning makes it sound like we've got a little light bulb overhead. Yeah, right. You better give me the right answer here. No, but we'll have a nice conversation. The Buckmaster Show, one of our great sponsors, Green Things, 3384 East River Road. Those folks, they're really waiting for the summer rains, because once they come and do a very, let's say, if we could even get like a half an inch, wouldn't that be wonderful? I think all of Tucson will hear from the 13-acre site at Green Things, all the plants doing a collective big sigh, finally. All right, greenthingsaz.com and Zocalo Village, their sister business, all that great merchandise from Mexico, much of it handcrafted, ZocaloVillage.com, Green Things in their 53rd year of business, open daily. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, but right now we'll be doing a studio interview with Councilman Paul Cunningham joining me in studio, and this is the second month in a row that the councilman has been able to come in. And the reason he can come into the studio is because he's on summer break with his education job, but he's not on summer break with his council job. How are you, Councilman?
Thanks for having me, Bill. It's great to see you. And I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate coming on your show.
Well, thank you very much. We haven't talked in a while with you about sports in Tucson. This is not a sports talk show, but people may not understand or realize the economic impact of sports to this community.
Well, when you take a look at what the Arizona Bowl does for us, and you take a look at what the in terms of tourism, and it gives us a winter destination. We get an influx of people from a colder climate every. It gives a nice little bump to our hotel industries. One of the things we get is the Tucson Sugar Skulls, and Ollie Farhang's done a great job out there with when it comes to youth sports and youth tournaments. The TIG Games do a great job. Tucson Invitational Games. Okay. It's a college tournament we have for like junior colleges, Division II, Division III, that come out for baseball and softball, because we have the weather that can accommodate those type of tournaments.
Yeah.
And people don't realize these things they help. The Fort Little Shootout's part of that. The rodeo's part of that. All these different things kind of drive that little bump in tourism. And through the years, it helps us build a lot of things. The one that I'm the most proud of is FC Tucson, which is Football Club Tucson, and football meaning soccer, not traditional American football, which we actually founded in 2011 under the Desert Cup. And it was just because we had an empty stadium. High Corbett was empty. The Rockies had left. Arizona was still playing downtown. And it was a pretty interesting program. And so what happened was we decided, hey, let's open up High Corbett to a soccer game. We'll bring in a couple teams. We'll get throw a local team together and have a little fun. And sure enough, what happened was some 10,000 people showed up at the stadium. It was a huge success. It launched the Desert Friendlies. It launched the Desert Diamond Cup. Then ultimately became there was a shipping container company that was sponsored it, but it became a big success in FC Tucson. And it went through, and then ultimately a Phoenix group bought the team, but they're back. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Perlman, who was in my office that day in 2011 to start the Desert Cup, who founded FC Tucson with Greg Foster, Rick Schantz, and I had a little help. I was helping out a little bit too. He's back. He is back in charge of FC Tucson. He's got a great new partner. And
soccer's big here in Tucson.
Oh yeah, it's soccer, and actually, believe it or not, women's sports is great. We've got a tremendous following for Arizona women's basketball. We've got a tremendous following for Arizona women's softball. We always have, and so we're primed for this. And I'm happy to say it sounds like, and I don't know if all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed, but it sounds like USL Pro Women, which is like the highest level of women's soccer, is going to have a franchise here in Tucson at FC Tucson.
Really?
And we're going to go up to a higher league, and I think the excitement and the buzz is going to be amazing. I think it's a huge opportunity for us. And this weekend, to kind of cap that off, is the presentation of the Golden Saguaro. So early on, as we're kind of getting FC Tucson started, I had Ty Stout, who owns Toller Trophy, and a local artist collaborate and build a trophy that's a big copper saguaro, but we call it the Golden Saguaro, quotes, the Golden Saguaro. And that is in the annual game between the Phoenix highest level pro team and the Tucson highest level pro team, which is typically FC Tucson and Phoenix Rising is typically the two teams. Whenever they play, the winner gets the Golden Saguaro.
So is the game this weekend?
Yeah, that game is this weekend. And actually, it's a series now, so it's a series of points for each club on who wins the women game and who wins the academy game, which is like the JV game. And so it looks like, I think, from what I understand, FC Tucson is very close to has already kind of locked it up. But I'd love to get the win this weekend and give it to them at the end of the game. We're hoping to get a great crowd out there. And FC Tucson has become an amazing part of Tucson. And it's an amazing part of some of the economic drivers we've had. It puts us on the map. And I was proud to be there at the beginning. And I'm hoping that tradition continues.
How about indoor football?
So again, that's the Sugar Skulls, and like I said,
and how many years have they been?
Seven, 8 years at least.
And how are they doing?
I think they're doing great. I think what the issue is right now the spring league of football, which is right now we've got XFL, USFL, and I think two competing indoor leagues, and it's a mishmash. What I think's going to come out of it, hopefully, is a kind of a universal spring league in the primary but secondary markets. Those are the markets whose metropolitan statistical area, or MSA, is over a million, but their CSA is over, like, say, 1.1 million, 1.2 million. And believe it or not, Tucson's very close to being in that mix. So if those markets, and some of those markets already have major sports teams, like, for instance, Cincinnati doesn't have an NBA team, but they have the Reds and they have the Bengals. So there are markets out there that Tucson is somewhat comparable to, but kind of isn't over the hump. But if they do a spring league of pro football, I'd love to be, that's kind of a united one. I think the Sugar Skulls would be a tremendous franchise for it. Again, I don't, all respect to Ollie Heat, he knows this way better than I do. He'd have a much better insight on how to get that going, or what it takes, or why. I think he's pretty much vested in the indoor piece, which is a great league and probably better for us anyway because it gets hot out here in the summer. I think it's a good program, and it's an outstanding, it's a great fun night for the family and for people, and especially football fans.
The Roadrunner hockey franchise,
totally thriving.
Yeah, we've got of course that's very dependent on the home team, Phoenix, and it looks like Phoenix is not going to be moving their NHL team
at this
point anyway. So Tucson, what goes on with the home team up in Phoenix, of course, depends. It makes Tucson very much dependent on that.
Yeah, and the other piece, I think, speaking of like a minor league team with Phoenix, that formula wasn't super popular. I remember when we brought in the Sidewinders and we had the Diamondbacks an hour away, it was like, well, why am I going to go and drive across town to spend this much for the Sidewinders when I can drive a little bit longer and spend about the same amount for the Diamondbacks? So we kind of ran into that a few years ago, but we'll see what happens. I think NBA G League would be an interesting idea for Tucson. I've looked at it. The Klein brothers have talked to me about it, and I think there's an opportunity there. We'll see kind of what happens and manifests. Again, I think sports commerce is one of those things that it's very fleeting, and you've just got to kind of, if the mix is right and the community is right, it can be successful.
All right, we'll talk about the economic situation in Tucson. How are we doing with Paul Cunningham after we take a break? It's Buckmaster on a Thursday afternoon in a very hot time of year here in Tucson. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Today we'll be up around 105 or so. So what's happening over in Silver City at 92 degrees? That fits nicely into the Buckmaster Show guarantee of 10 degrees cooler if you take the trip over to Silver City. And I hope you do. It's only about a three-hour drive. And the website, before you take the trip, I suggest taking a look at southwestnewmexico.org on all the many things to do. Great places to stay and dine as well in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, where it will be a lot cooler than Tucson because their elevation is about a mile high. Paul Cunningham is with us, Tucson City Councilman. How are we doing economically right now in the city of Tucson, Paul Cunningham?
Well, it's kind of interesting. You know, what was an unexpected turn to some degree is we're seeing a really big increase in our employed. You know, the city of Tucson is not in a financial situation. A lot of people know that we've run a surplus the last couple of years and things are going pretty well as far as from a fiscal standpoint, but we are understaffed in every department. I mean, we're doing our best. We are understaffed in every department, actually, except fire. Our fire department is fully staffed.
Yeah.
And has back and has relief mm-hmm. too. I mean, mm-hmm. we're actually keeping up with attrition, but pretty much every other job function, every other division and subdivision, we're always losing people. We always need people. We're constantly hiring.
How does that impact running a city if you're shorthanded?
It's rough.
I mean, some areas are down 35%, of your departments.
It's
like IT?
IT, Tucson Water Call Center, and that one's always a struggle, and we keep upping the pay and trying to bring in incentives. I think, again, this goes back to this discussion about how the worker has evolved. There's a different discussion to be had now. It's not like 25 years ago where I want a Cadillac healthcare plan, I want a pension, I want steady hours. It's more like I want some flexibility, I want to be able to spend my money the way I want some choice with my healthcare plan. And so that's what's changed. And that's not bad. It's mm-hmm. just changed. Mm-hmm. And so we have to adapt to that. And we're doing our best to adapt to that. I think we keep filling positions because people are starting. We're now past the pandemic, like truly past. I mean, for we finished the pandemic, and then a year went on when it was like, well, because of the pandemic, we have supply chain. And because of the pandemic, we're now out of that. And it's more people are starting to come back to work. And it's showing that in here in Tucson. We're at, since January, we've had 480,000 people working for the first time ever. We never hit 480.
Almost a 500,000 people.
We flirted, wow. even at the height of, like at the end of 19, our average for the year was 460,000 people. That mm-hmm. was our mm-hmm. calendar year average number of workers in the city of Tucson was 400. Well, no, in our metropolitan statistical area was 460,000, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. For the past 5 months in a row, we've been basically right at 480,000. Mm. It's incredible. Mm. And this past May was a record number, 480, mm. almost 482. So it's really exciting, and we're just trying to keep that thing. Now, the one thing I will tell people, if they really want to make Tucson super special, is go get your car washed and go do up your yard, because it will rain.
I hope so.
If you
hope so.
You know, it's like one of those things, the Murphy's Law concept.
My car needs a car wash. So, maybe if I get a car wash this afternoon, it will rain.
Yep. So that's, I always say, make that joke, because I've always noticed that whenever I like rake the leaves in my yard or whatever, it rains. So mm-hmm. that's what I tell people. Go out, wash your car, go out, do a rain dance if you know one. But bottom line is that everybody knew we were going to have a late monsoon this year because we had such a mild spring, and everybody knew that the monsoon ridge was late. And this is that time when you see those clouds in the south every year and you think, oh, it's going to rain today, and then then it doesn't. And so we're in that part where we're about to hit that monsoon ridge, and I hope we get there, and that's exciting to me. So I wanted to mention that. And the other thing I kind of wanted to mention was we've got some discussion, and I had some discussion this morning with some TEP folks. And what's funny is that we're talking about maybe going to a public utility model or the changes. I think a lot of this stuff is going to evolve organically. But I think one thing that we learned on this past proposition failing was the issue of affordability is still center to what we are in Tucson. That's a core value of ours, that there's got to be an avenue in which the cost to any household for energy is minimalized.
Yeah, I think you're on to something, Paul Cunningham. The big picture, when you look at that proposition going down, Tucson, I've been here 35 years and was back here after I was here in college in the mid-60s. It's always been a real value-oriented place. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I used to say, so about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I called us, I said, we're a $25 town, or we're a $40
yeah,
town.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In other words, if you can't get away with a family of four for $40,
right,
you're probably not going back.
Yeah.
If you can't entertain a couple for $25, you can't go back. Now, I think inflation, unfortunately, and mm-hmm. modern wages have changed that. We're probably mm-hmm. more like a $40 town for couples and a $60 or $80 town for a family of four.
Yeah.
But we're still that we're not in a $100 town, that's for sure. And so people have to be aware of that. And again, our entrepreneurs can do that. Our most special entrepreneurs can do that in their head. My man Ray Flores, not to give somebody an unfair mm-hmm. Not to give somebody an unfair advertising, but there's plenty of guys like them, and Danielle too, from Guido. Those guys have that sense. Like when you can talk, they're walking focus groups. They just mm-hmm. have a sense of what people will spend and what people want.
So
I think that's
TEP
what makes it special.
Wanted a rate increase. It was an unfortunate timing with that proposition. There was
sure,
and so people were saying, why should I vote to give them anything right now?
And I think even more so, you had some fees, you had some of those, some of the fees tacked on. It just doesn't work. So I think we need to take a look at having a very, like trying to take some pride in having the most renewable but also most affordable system in the state. The other thing I think we should probably take a look at is how this industry is going to evolve on its own. I think. So one of the things people talk to me is about batteries and how, you know, you can't really have a battery large enough at your house that can keep your house replenished. And that's probably true. But one of the things is that that's because every night your charging station goes off. Mm-hmm. Every night the sun sets.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What you, and you're still drawing power from that battery. Mm-hmm. Well, what if you have a battery at another station where you're never drawing power from it, and for 7 days the sun sets and the sun rises and sets every day for 7 days, and that battery goes to full charge. And then, well, that's a battery subscription. So you'd actually have, like you have a garbage can picked up once a week, you'd actually have your battery traded out once a week. So I think there's some things that are going to happen in this industry that are going to change how grids are managed, mm-hmm. how power is managed, mm-hmm. how people are delivered mm-hmm. power. And I think that'll be pretty interesting.
So when do you think the city, when will this come up again? This, there is a deadline here. I think it's 2026.
Yeah, we've got a couple years. I think everybody's going to go back to sharpening our pencils. I think we're going to rethink, you know, what the
way it's presented. I mean, it's,
and we've really got to say, look, you guys got to make the commitment to limit your rate cases, or at least limit when you do them. And I think that'll go far. I think that'll mean a lot to people. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I look at it right now. I think, again, I'd love to take a look at a public utility model. The issue is, I think there is so many precedents and so much capital investment that goes into to switching over. I'm not sure if it would ever pencil out. I think it would actually cause rates to raise, and I'm not sure if I want to go there.
Mm. What's the latest on the homeless situation? You're keeping an eye on that.
Yeah,
only,
you know,
a couple minutes left.
But it's actually, I'm really, so I look at some of the other cities and our peer cities with camps, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 in size, and they've got different things. We've got a few camps of maybe over 100, but none more than that. They're always sparse. We are engaging them at least once a week, twice a week, sometimes even more. Other social services agencies are bringing in. Look, in 18 months, some 700 people have been taken off the streets and put into permanent housing.
How many?
700.
Okay.
And that doesn't include the transitional beds we're using.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line is that we also have programs where there are some expectations for people when they enter that program, some transitional programs. So some of the people on the streets are very reluctant to go to those programs. So we do have bed spaces, and we are doing our best to put precedent for people with kids first, but we're building back out the Dotel Motel, which won't be called Notel anymore. We just acquired the Amazon Hotel. We think we're gonna have a partnership with another hotel along Drachman with Pima Community College. I think we're gonna have a really good transitional system that can absorb some of this. I think the other piece is a triage system for some of that triage and some of the processing that we go into with the county that has to be examined. I think having a different kind of strategy with pretrial, I'd love to get some investment into pretrial services. And then I think I'd love to see us have some more detox beds, some in-custody detox beds, and some in-custody and an in-custody drug rehab program. And I think if we have all those, I think we have more tools in the toolbox to get us where we want to be. I think right now, though, with the numbers we put up in transitioning people, that 700 people, we've really kind of come out ahead and demonstrated some leadership compared to our other peer cities.
Okay, got to go. Where will you be teaching in the fall?
The current plan is, and I'm pretty sure this is not going to change, I'll be at Gridley Middle School. I'll be teaching PE. I'll be also teaching special ed. I will also be continuing our wheelchair basketball program. We're going to do wheelchair basketball, hopefully, in 16 schools this year. That's a program.
Great.
Also, we're also sponsoring Club Zeus for autistic people, for autistic folks and special needs folks. And I'm still going to be working on paratransit. So I'm doing a lot of disability advocacy. Thank you for having me, Bill.
Always a pleasure. Paul Cunningham with us on the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Mr. Cunningham and Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster, wishing you well.